Hello and welcome back to the Mission Podcast, episode 19. Those of you from the 80s will get the reference there. How are you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm doing good. I'm actually checking you out at the minute there, Andy. A couple of interesting things. First of all, some Mission pillowcases there in the background once again. You've gone for two. And I love the technicalities of this. As you know, myself and Andy, we're not very great with our technical information. I mean, it's took us, what, 3 months to get a different coloured hoodie on me. And it looks, Andy, like today you've upgraded your technology. It looks like you're balancing your microphone on what appears to be a shoebox.
That is absolutely right. Well, you said, Matt, you've been getting Christmas presents. And what did I say on the channel? I said, I need a new pair of shoes. I need a new pair of trainers. Well, some have arrived. You want to see them? I can even like at the end. So I thought I'd balance the mic on them. Look at these beauties. Look at these bad boys. Hey? Well, unfortunately, they arrived because I bought them. But I thought that box is... Yeah, you're always saying that. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, you're always saying my microphone's not high enough, not near enough to me. So I thought, well, I'll use the box, and there we go. So
you didn't even take the shoes out of the box. You left the shoes in the box, obviously.
No, but yeah, shoes still in the box. Yeah, shoes still in the box. So, but honestly, today, Matt, Harsh Andy's here. Harsh Andy has turned up. He's come back from Rate My Hockey, and he's turned up on the podcast because you're going to have to calm me down today. You're probably going to have to mute me.
I reckon if it's time to calm you down, I reckon just the thing. Has your delivery arrived in the post yet from our Lakeside video? Your signed Matthew Edgar Christmas gift?
Very good. Very good. Has that gone out today, has it?
Today's Sunday, remember, so it went out a couple of days ago on Friday.
I'll get the hang of this after a bit, Matt. We've only been doing it like, 5 months now. You know, I'll get the hang of the fact that we're not live. This actually goes out in a couple of days' time. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah, how's the Audi?
I love that video.
Yeah. Well, you've done well there because you've made me smile, and I really was going to start on a rant. Can I just say, we're recording this on Friday. I think I've watched the best set of darts ever. Last night, were you watching it? Last game of the evening?
Just for clarification, you mean Thursday night?
I mean Thursday night, yeah. Last game on, Mike Smith Dowitz, last set. I just want to watch it again. It was unbelievable. You know, I know we're going to talk a lot about the worlds and everything, but that just blew me away last night. And I was actually thinking, is that the best game I've ever watched? No. Is it the best final set? I think it is. I was mind-blowing. But
okay,
yeah,
I'm just going to side story here quickly, as I do. This is what I...
You've gone out of focus as well.
This is something I do. I hear what you say and I come up with a different narrative. Before you get into your rant and before you go into... So you said there, was it the best match I've ever seen? No. What makes the best match you've ever seen? Because to me, I think I'm different.
Yeah, so for me, it's usually the quality and going backwards and forwards. So sticks out for me was Taylor and Lewis I believe it was the Grand Slam. They had like 20-odd 180s, and it was just, they were laughing. It was that good. They were hitting big checks and everything. This game was sort of around the 85 average most of the game, with both of them going like, he's coming. Oh no, he's gone again. But then the last set was just electric. I think they both averaged 110 or something. And it was just the way that, he's going to blow it again. Oh no, he's come back. Oh, he's going to blow it. Oh, he's come back. And it was just, I loved it. So yeah, that's what makes it for me.
That's me. So you're talking about like Taylor Lewis, and a lot of people will pick out games because of the standard being incredible. But to me, when I'm watching players that it looks like they can't miss, like when you're watching one of those games where to me, I don't find that as entertaining. Watching almost perfection, like, because it's unsustainable, and for the majority of the world, it's unachievable. So it becomes detachable. I can't relate to it because I've never had that game where you throw in 120 average. So. Yeah. Against someone throwing 120 average. So it feels unsustainable. What I prefer is, to me, I really enjoy a match when it is a match. I play on the word match and game quite a lot. A game is two people going up and throwing darts against each other. A match is where two people of similar stats, of similar ability, are going at it head to head at a similar pace. So they're going at a nice quick pace. There's missed doubles in there, which adds to the drama. Oh, he's missed a shot. The other guy's got a shot. Can he take it? Because then you start running narrative. But if you're just hitting all the time, oh, is it that? Oh, he ain't gone out in 12. He's going to lose this leg. It becomes a computer game rather than something that's realistic. And like I say, I like the, oh, he's got one dart in hand. Oh, he's missed it. The other guy wants 72. If he gets a treble, he gets two. That's me. That's what I really enjoy. And I think it was Barry Hearn who said once, and it's a statement I've never forgotten. He said, sometimes the best races in the world are between two donkeys. And that's true. Like that. It's the story of what you're watching, not the not the level. Like, I can go down and watch my local football team who play in UCL, which is like right down. It's not even below the conference by about four divisions. And I can enjoy that the same way, if not more so sometimes, than watching Champions League football.
Well, Matt, as you know, I'm a Blackpool fan, so I'm kind of well used to that. You know, I'm well used to that. If I go there and there's a couple of goals, B, we don't get beat, it's like the Champions League to me. So, but we're having a bit of a run at the moment, so that's nice. But I can't hold back any longer, Matt. I've got to get stuck in because I know you're the right person to react to what I'm going to have to say. And I'm going to give you the build-up by saying you prepared for your world championship as good as you possibly could, but you are not a professional dart player. You're a professional commentator, professional YouTuber, professional coach. You have a million things going on. That being said, you started eating properly. You were down the gym. You were putting the practice in. You saw a physio. You did the best that you could, and I'm proud of you for doing that. I am not seeing that in this world championship, and it is driving me insane, right? Players coming on stage in brand new leather shoes that they've clearly never worn before, they've never practiced in, and then wondering, oh, why am I not playing so good? Why does it feel funny? Whoa, but what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? Wear the same bloody shoes to practice in that you're going to play on the stage in. Don't put a brand new pair of leather shoes on. That's number one. Secondly, oh, it's too hot on stage. I can't cope with the heat. I'm sweating. I'm too hot. Really? So you haven't prepared at all. You haven't thought, maybe I'll lose a bit of timber before the Worlds. Maybe I'll get down the gym. Maybe I'll sit in the sauna a little bit. Maybe I'll turn the heating up in my practice room so I get used to the heat. No, I haven't done any of that. I'll just turn up and think, you know, it's only the biggest tournament of your life or the year or whatever it is. Players not being able to count, right? I'm sick of it, Matt. I'm sick. I mean, Leonard Gates, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to ask the referee what you've got left and then still go for the wrong number that leaves a bogey number. Them three things are driving me insane. And as I go on about it, where are the managers going? Where's your preparation? Why are you practicing on your own? Why are you not practicing with top players? Why have you got your slippers on when you're going to be playing on the Ali Pali stage in leather shoes? Right, I've had a little rant now.
So, I've lived on the tour for 11 years and now I work as a commentator on it. So, I see the players all the time. There is a misconception about the level of professionalism on individuals. They don't have a clue. A lot of the players are players that came through the old system, pub, Super League, county, the old system, not the modern day development, which will see these things change. Things like the JDC development tours, etc. A lot of the players are coming from the old system. Now, they became really good at something and they don't know why. And a lot of them almost, like, I remember a guy called Dmitry Gorbunov. Right. When I played in the World Championships, a guy called Dmitry Gorbunov, and I said I absolutely loved Dmitry Gorbunov. And the reason was because he went around He was filming bits. He was taking photos of himself on the stage. He was dancing. He was loving it. He was just smiling the whole time. And I said, I've just spent a year on a professional tour with people that don't appreciate or realize what they've got. And this guy's turned up to the World Championship smiling and loving it. And I said, how refreshing and how wrong is it that I'm picking him out as the sort of standout in the crowd because he's happy to be there? And with that, like you say, I think people are in a continuum. Now, if you put me, the reason I took the World Championship so seriously is because I don't play 12 months a year. So I, to even to get to what I did, I averaged 80. It was terrible. But even to get to that took me so much extra work because I just don't play the game. I don't have the reps that these guys do. Now, because they have the reps and because they're doing it on a regular basis, I think what you do is you get in a continuum. You put me at the Ali Pali now, and I will give you 6 months of hard work to try and eke out every little bit of ability I've got left. These guys just expect it in a way. There's one guy right now who I believe in more than anybody because he doesn't do the things you've just said. He is looking to find the very, very best in himself on all occasions. Connor Scott.
Oh, okay, Connor. Yeah, I thought you were going to say Luke.
Luke Humphries does it. Luke Humphries does it. But I think the difference between Connor and Luke is because Luke is there already, he doesn't have that... he's driven. Of course he is. I'm not saying he's not driven. I'm not saying he's not hungry like Connor Scott is. Luke Humphries is a millionaire. His life is set. Connor Scott wants that. And he wants to take it from him. So he's the hunter. Luke Humphries has become the hunted.
He has. I was kind of, the reason I thought of Luke is because he had mental health and he addressed it.
Yeah.
He had
arthritis at one point.
He was, and he sorted it. He was carrying too much weight. He realized that he lost the weight. I've never seen him change his dart setup. Never. Mm. He's like, I'm world champion. I'm multiple major winner. Why would I use a different flight or a different stem? I'm sticking to this. Come and beat me because I don't need to change my gear. You know, too many players now. Oh, I'm not playing so good. Think I'll change my flight. Think I'll change my stem. Think, oh, I'll try a new set of dart. None of that. He comes across as a professional. And do you know what it makes me think? It makes me think I wish I'd had their ability because I have all the knowledge of everything else. And I know you do. And I'm not being disrespectful in saying that, you know, your ability wasn't Phil Taylor-esque. You eked out, as you've just said there, the very most of what you possibly could from what you were given. And that, you know, and we're not, you know, you do need some natural ability. It's just winding me up that these players are playing for huge amounts of money and they're not preparing. I can't remember the saying. I'm terrible with sayings. Prepare to fail, fail to prepare, something like that.
Well, when you say you fail to prepare, people are playing for. The real interesting bit about that is, again, I've sat having breakfast, lunch, dinner, shared hotel rooms, shared planes, taxis, buses, tables at the venue, practice boards. I've done it all with pretty much all the players. Now, one thing I can tell you about that is you're looking at this from a different point of view to anybody else would, or not anybody else. I'm really discrediting there. That's some of the majority. I'll say the majority think about this. Now, you're looking at this in live potential earnings. Now, with that, you're looking at it going, look what's up for grabs. Look what you can win. Look what you've got. The player sits there and goes, I've got $7,500. Or if they start in the second round, I've got $15,000. They only deal with what the guarantee is. They don't see the potential. Now, you think otherwise because you've ran businesses. And if you didn't have that mentality, you'd never set up a business because you would say, what I've got, actually, I'm safe with that. I'm not going to risk it to try and run this business and get more. So you think differently to a lot of these guys. These guys aren't businessmen. A few of them are, and they tend to be the ones that are successful. But a lot of people don't. Now, again, to sort of put this into perspective, at times, I fell into this trap because when you hear it all the time, you start to go with it. You start, you know, you are your environment. You put one bad person in the workplace, eventually it cottons on and it sort of sets a negative work ethic throughout the team. And the way I did this, right? So I, in COVID year, I played the World Championships. Now, I played my first game. I got down there 2 days early because normally I went down 1 day early before the World Championships, but I felt a bit rushed. It was like I was there, then I'm on. So I said, right, this year I'm going to go down 2 days early and I'm going to have a day just to settle, just to get, just to be like, I'm here, I'm around it, all this is going on. I take it in, I get comfortable with it. It worked. I won 3-0 and had 75% checkout rate. Then I had like a 4 day gap before I played round two. It was COVID, was in a bubble. So if we left and came back, we was like, we had to retest everything to get back in. So yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'll just stay within the bubble. So I stayed there for 4 days, played my game. And I said, right, I'll go home at Christmas, whether I win or lose, going home at Christmas. Cause I was playing the 23rd of December. So the last session. So,
yeah.
Now I knew after beating Kyivanova in round one, I'd won £15,000. And when I was traveling back after playing that Suljovic game, I was like, oh, I've just done all that for free, really, because I haven't got any more money for that. And I've now had to spend 4 nights in a hotel and I've had to eat out in London every night. I'm like, it's cost me about £1,000 to stay there to play this match and I've not got anything for it. I've actually lost money by playing that match. And it was only a couple of weeks later where I'm like, well, I didn't really lose money by playing that game, so I wouldn't have got the money if I didn't play the game. So, but you do get caught up in that where you're like, well, I've kind of done all that and spent all that for nothing, really, because I was guaranteed 15 a week ago, and now I've still got 15, and I've just had a week's worth of expenses.
I think things are going to change. I mean, I coach a lot of players like you do, and there's a young lad that I'm not going to name names. There's a young lad that I'm coaching that's going to be a professional dart player, and I'm going to give him all the knowledge that I've got. He's got far more ability than I ever had. I basically got the best out of what I had. But I'm going to give him all this information that I've taken over the years of how to prepare properly and make sure. You know, do you know what? I've seen players practicing with a coat on. Honestly, and I'm like, are you wearing a coat on the Ali Pali stage by any chance? You know, it's like the things that I see all the time.
Yeah,
I'm just I'm just sucking it all in. I'm going to give it this young lad and he's going to do phenomenal things. And I think that going forward now, ability alone is not going to be enough. The bar has been risen. There's more tournaments. We've seen more injuries this year. There's going to be more stamina required. Stages are going to be as hot as ever, and I think there's going to be a changing of the guard, and I think the old school way of doing things is going to be out the door very quickly, and if you're not along for the ride, you're going to be left behind.
Interesting you say about the stages being hotter as well, and instantly it made me think of my ex-partner, because she'd always like forget my birthday or something. I'm like, oh, it must have sprung up on you. Like, you maybe didn't even realize it's just sprung up on you, has it? Like, it's the same date every year. How do you get it wrong? It's like Ali Pali. These, we talk about players here that have been on that stage many times before. The first time I went on that stage, I think it was 2019, maybe 2018. I went on there and I was like, this is loud and this is hot. I'm someone who wears shorts all year round. So for me, it was hot as it was. So instantly, like you say, the next year, I was like, right, I'm going to be in the sauna. In the preparation for this, just so I get used to being hot. And I'd go in the sauna in clothes.
Yeah.
And with that, then I thought, right, now I need to research ways in which to cool yourself down. And I remember being told having a cold compressed on your wrist because to do with the arteries and the blood flow going back into the heart, and that helps cool down the system. It's something to do with babies. And I'm like, well, I'll have a wristband. And inside the wristband, I'll put a little cooling pad. So if I ever feel too hot, I'll just put the wristband on. And I've got this cooling pad on my wrist, on my left wrist, that's going to help keep me cool.
Brilliant. Just like we say about putting a hand warmer in your pocket if you're going somewhere that's cold. It's just simple stuff, Matt, and it is simple stuff that can give you that extra 1% that you're going to need. Anyway, let's move on from that. I've had my little rant. Let's talk a little bit about the Worlds. James Wade, is that his last chance? Is he gone now? Never going to win the world?
He's going to get lots more chances and opportunities, but how many do we believe he's actually going to be successful in? I think maybe that ship sailed. Also, when we look at the last time James Wade won a big title, I mean, James Wade has had a much improved year this year. I was one of those people that thought if James Wade had a good world championship, we could have had him back in the Premier League.
Yeah, possibly.
He ticks a lot of boxes. The Premier League at the moment for me is a very, very tricky one to select because it's what is the person's role within that Premier League? James Wade's role would be a returning, I'm going to use the word legend of the sport because he's one of the most successful players in PDC history and longevity. Yeah. So absolutely, he needs to be regarded as such. But will he win a world championship? I don't know. I don't think he can. Well, of course he can. And this is where it gets really tricky when you're trying to predict the future, because we predict the future on past experience, and the past experience has not been positive. But as James Wade got the ability to do so, yes. But as you've just said, ability isn't the only deciding factor in a solo sport like this, which is over 3 weeks.
And he's got other interests and he's comfortable home life and he's got children and his whole life has changed and darts probably is fifth on the list now for him. So, yeah, I don't think so. But there's so much more to talk about, Matt. Tell me about Simon Whitlock. Has he dropped out the 64?
He's gone now, yeah. So Simon Whitlock loses his card now. He is going to Q School. He's going to the European Q School because being Australian, he gets the opportunity to go to...
Yeah, because being Australian, he's not European. Yeah, okay. But yeah, as he's not in the UK. Hang on, though. He lives in the UK. He can still go to the European one.
Can you hear that really annoying noise in the background?
No.
Okay, that's cool. The microphone's not picking up.
Oh, like a ticking
scratch at the door. So,
right, okay, yeah,
as they do. So,
special guest on the podcast, Matt's cat.
So what was the question again? So, cat was
About Whitlock. He's
Whitlock. Yes, that was it. Yes,
one. You can so go there even if you live in the UK,
and he's going with his son. So, son Mason plays, Simon's got this ambition that he'd love to be on the tour at the same time as his son. We've seen it. You know, before with different players, James and Josh Richardson come to mind, two players that sort of play at the same sort of time. That's his goal. But there is another, I can't think who it is though, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
It's bugging me. Eddie and Thomas Lovely played, I think, at the same time. But there's another one, I can't think who it is.
Yeah, there is another one. I can picture him. The young
comment
lad.
Section, guys, help us out.
Who's the other father and son? Yeah.
So that's his ambition. But if he doesn't, I think he'll be better off because he'll do well on the Challenge Tour. He'll get Pro Tour invites anyway. He can do the Super Series. He can do the seniors. We'll see more of him on the TV screens than we did this year because he'll be guaranteed all the seniors events. So I know this conversation's ongoing with Simon Whitlock and various promoters. I think it'd be best advice for Simon Whitlock to not have a tour card. That being said, he is going to Q School.
Okay, cool. Christian Kist with a 9-darter, obviously lost his game. We've seen that a million times. How many times does the first round of the World Championship bring a 9-darter from a player that either doesn't go any further or is a rank outside? I'm thinking the last few years, William Borland, Darius Labanauskas, Dean Winstanley back in the day. Who did it the year before? There's been some real, like Terry Jenkins did one. There's been some 9-darters that you just didn't see coming at all. And I didn't see coming in that game.
One of my friends from back in the day, who sadly no longer with us as well, Kyle Anderson.
Oh, of course, Kyle. Yeah.
On debut, I believe it was Kyle Anderson did that.
On debut, yeah.
Kyle Anderson and his brother Beau,
was playing as well. Yeah, amazing. So great to see Christian do that. Obviously, he lost and... A player that I quite like that has suffered with injury and illness, should we say. It's illness, isn't it, more than injury. Will he come back again? You know what I mean? It's like...
One thing that's got to be said about that Christian Kist 9-darter that hasn't been there for a while is the prize fund. There's never really been a prize fund before for the 9-darter.
Yeah, I saw that.
$60,000 he got. Now, but he's earned more.
Share it.
No, he gets 180 grand shared, so he gets 60. So 60 grand means he is now the fifth best earner from the World Championships because quarter
hasn't on his ranking, surely.
He's not on his ranking.
No, I'm going
to
say.
But you get 50 grand for getting to the quarters, so he's done well out of this World Championships. And I don't think that's going to be the last one. I said there'll be two this year.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be. And do you know what? I'd raise you one. I'd go three. I think we've still got some poor limbs everywhere, haven't we? Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting topic, and I've discussed with this a couple of people who disagree with me. Mike Dedeker, I thought a reasonable run here. He was guaranteed Premier League. That was my first thought. Now, he's gone out first round. I don't think now he's not going to be in people's thoughts. I don't think he gets a Premier League. I might be wrong. I don't think he gets it. I think somebody else is going to come out of the pack and take that spot. I think it's good for him. I think it's good for him not to go straight into the Premier League. Now, I've argued this with a couple of people who've said, oh, yeah, now players have been chucked. Look at Luke Littler last year. Look, amazing. He's a phenomenon. I can think of plenty of players that it ruined them. And winning your first title on TV, he's only just come into the top 32. He's a phenomenal talent, no question about it whatsoever. I think it would be too soon. And I'm glad for him, and he probably doesn't think this way, but I'm glad for him he hasn't got him, because I think in the long run, and he'll probably get in it next year, I think it's good. What do you think?
I first met Mike Dedeker in a Grand Slam of Darts qualifier. We was both playing in the semi-final. I won my semi-final to get through to the final of the Grand Slam qualifier. This is in 2014. This was back in the day, 256 players, one goes through. And Mike Dedeker was playing on a board against Jamie Cavan. And I was watching that game thinking, I really hope he wins, because I'd rather play him than Jamie Cavan. So I was watching it. And that's the first time I met Mike. Now, that was 2014, 10 years ago. In those 10 years, we have never once... this is what I mean. You forget how long I've been around on this game. 10 years ago. Now, this is not once in those 10 years have I ever, until 3 months ago, thought Mike Dedeker is a conversation point for the Premier League. So 10 years of data to run on, 10 years of sample, 10 years of life on the tour, and we've never once even considered Mike Dedeker. If I would have said at the start of the year, Mike Dedeker, Premier League, you'd have laughed me out of the building. But off the back of that one tournament and the recent form, I think there's a bit of recency bias here in regards to Mike Dedeker. Yes, he's a great player. Yes, he's going the right way. But the Premier League is such a jump from where he is now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I sort of agree with that and think, for him, he needs to see what happens, focus on other things and see what happens over the next year. You know, does he keep climbing? Does he keep coming up that ladder? Does he? I think he's top 16 all day long, just from his ability alone. He looks after himself. He, you know, all the things that we've talked about earlier, he's a good counter. And I must get onto the counting thing with you in a minute.
Well, before you do that, let's just stay on this, because you said other goals. I'm going to chuck another caveat in there. I think that's the word. I don't know, but we'll go with it anyway. I don't believe now there are going to be some rule changes. I can't go any deeper than that. There's going to be some changes within the PDC. Now, with that in mind, I don't believe for a second that the Premier League should have anybody outside of the top 16, because it is going to cripple their season. If you're not in the top 16, you should not be under consideration for the Premier League. And that is because of what it's going to do to the players under next year's criteria.
Is it possible to win the Worlds and not be in the 16? It's not,
no,
is it?
$500,000, no, isn't it, to win the Worlds?
Yeah, exactly. So if you win the Worlds, you're in the 16 anyway.
I think, runners up, what, 200,000? Runner up is 200,000. So anyone who wins the Worlds from 38 up, Martin Lutman 38 at the minute, if he was to get runner up, he'd be in the top 16.
Okay.
As things stand. So it would only be like if someone outside the top 30 odd, and then, yeah, anyone who wins the Worlds would automatically go up to at least number six as it stands.
And you mentioned Martin there. He's got through his first game, I saw, but yeah, he's got tonsillitis. So fingers crossed he's now got time before he won't play second game before Christmas, I don't think. So get well soon, Martin, and crack on. Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at, yeah. So that gives us a great selection, a great group of players there to select from the 16. You've obviously got your top four in there by right, which at the moment, Humphreys, Little, Evanger, and Cross. I think Price is in. I don't even think that's a debate at the moment. I think Price is in. I think Anderson's gone. Under consideration.
Smith getting beat last night. He's not going to make it. He's going to go from second in the world to like 14th or something.
Well, he's 15 as it stands. But then if Dobie wins his game, he drops to 16. If Ross Smith wins his game, he drops out the 16. If Josh Rock wins his game, he goes down to 17. So
to be the biggest drop ever. I can't believe there's been a bigger one.
There has been. There was one years ago. I can't think who it was. It might have been Shane Burgess who went to bed like world number two and woke up like world number 27 or something like that, which is when they then changed it to ranking money rather than ranking points, which was the old system, because the points system didn't quite work at the time. So
Shane, he probably just thought he'd had a bad dream.
We're bringing them all about. Wow. Ram Dekker, Shane Burgess. We're setting up for the Mission Legends Tour.
yeah. Forget the seniors. We're gonna have Zimmer frames and walking sticks.
Next, Alex Roy will play.
Oh yeah, Alex Roy. I played him when I was on the tour. Yeah, Alex. Goodness,
what a guy.
Yeah, and all those players.
Well, we know where Dunbridge is. He's playing on the seniors at the minute, so he can't quite fit in. Where are they now? No. Sort of tour.
No, he can't. And I had a little top three for you this week, which I thought I'd just chuck at you because our man got through, Ryan Joyce. So many Mission players. Like every 5 minutes, I'm putting the telly on, there's another Mission player, which is phenomenal. I think it's 15 in the world this year. Yeah. Incredible. More playing again today. Ryan Joyce gets through using his pair flights. Got me thinking. Your top three is on the spot. I love putting you on the spot. Top three players of all time that use pair flights.
Steve Beaton, Kevin Painter, and... I can't think of another pair.
This is really controversial. Right. So those three that you've named, and none of them are in my top three. They're all in my alternate list. My top three, John Lowe, multiple world champion, Leighton Rees.
We're showing our ages here. We're talking about different generations, aren't we? Yeah.
And I cannot believe you haven't mentioned your mate, Glenn Durran.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to kill you. He's going to kill you, man.
See, you forget that Glenn obviously tinkered, didn't he? And he went to kite. He went to standard.
He won the world championships using pairs. Multiple times. Yeah. So, Glenn, I hope you're on the phone to him right now going, "Oi, Edgar." And then I had a couple of other notable mentions. Andy Fordham. Peter Manley.
Oh, yeah. Good shout.
And one more world champion you haven't said. Mr. 138.
Oh, did I you? See, again, this is a generational, isn't it? Because the players you mentioned are sort of like... I wouldn't have took note of the flights when I'm watching like those sort of moments. But people that popped into my mind, Painter and Beaton, because they're obviously the generation of the people I would have grown up watching. So it's interesting. Fair. Yeah.
Two of those won the world championship before you were born. So I'll give you that. But I thought that was quite interesting. Once I started thinking about it, I was like, oh God, how many world champions, like John Lowe, Leighton Rees, Glenn Durran, Andy Fordham, Keith Deller, Steve Beaton have all won the worlds using pairs and Manley was runner up. So I thought that was quite interesting there. Might do the same thing on kite flights, but I don't think I'll be.
He took it really well, didn't he, as well, Manley, when he lost that world final.
Oh, yeah, phenomenally well. Yeah. Oh, dear.
To be fair, I'd have probably punched him in the face if that happened to me. Yeah. I'd have kicked him in the ghoulies or something like that. You've just worked your whole life for this world championship finally, bashes you up 7-0. It'd be sickening.
Just going completely off topic, I've looked out the window, there's a DPD van there, and that just got me thinking, haven't things changed over the years? I came home the other day and DPD had thrown a parcel over my garden gate, like into the back garden. Like it used to be, oh, we'll knock on your door. If you're not in, we'll leave it with a neighbour, or we'll take it back and we'll... Now it's just like, right, we'll just chuck it in your garden, mate. Yeah.
I tell you what, thieves are having it really easy, aren't they? Home Alone would be a different episode nowadays, wouldn't it? Like the wet bandits driving down the road, just, oh, we'll have that one, we'll have that one, brilliant.
Yeah, how many times do you walk down the street now and there's Amazon parcels on people's doorsteps? It's mental.
But imagine that for the thieves. It's like Christmas, isn't it? Oh, what have I got? It could be anything.
It really is Christmas for the thieves, Merry Christmas,
Just wait till the Amazon van's gone down and go, we'll just walk up the road, I'll have them 10 parcels, lovely, what have I got today? You know, back in the day when I used to be a paper boy, and we've all done it, we got thirsty, we robbed the milk off someone's thing, and, you know, we've all done it.
Yeah, we have.
Imagine now if that was, now with parcels, like, I've got an iPod.
Forget the milk, I've just got a new iPad. Where have you got that from? Oh, Christmas came early.
Or when the other one used to do, when you turn up from I grew up in a mining village, so we used to go down to the field and we used to steal the potatoes out of the farmer's field, and you'd come back with your t-shirt and you'd fold your t-shirt over, like, you know, so you'd fold it up.
I know what you mean.
And you'd fill it with potatoes. And then you'd go back. Your mum'd be like, where'd you get them from? You're like, oh, they fell off a wagon. Like, what did I'd be like 5-6 years old. What does a 5-6 year old want with potatoes? And there's me showing age as well, that I was allowed to go out and play by myself at 5-6 years old.
I
don't know why.
How times have changed.
Just like stealing potatoes.
I don't think a modern day thief is looking for potatoes. You know, like,
but I've always been like this. I'm going to make a confession here. I've always been a really petty thief. Right.
Yeah.
To the point where if I go to the bookies, I'm taking some pens.
You're in I'm the paper. You're going to take some slips.
If I go to a hotel, I'll the spare toilet roll, I'm having it.
Like, no.
Yeah, I'll take the spare toilet roll. Like, you know, when you get one on the
roll.
You're
the reason why there's never enough toilet roll now in hotels when you're there for 3 nights and they leave you like one roll. Like, you're the reason.
Do you want me to tell you a true story?
I've got to be honest. I take the toiletries. Who doesn't take them little toiletries that you get? I mean, who doesn't take them? They're there to be used. Put them in your bag for when you stay somewhere and there isn't any toiletries and you go, oh, I've got them little ones in my bag from that nice hotel I stayed in.
As this is the Christmas episode, I'm going to give you something.
It's a petty crime episode.
Yes. I'm going to tell you something that I'm not going to name names who got involved in this, but a lot of people got heavily involved in this process. I had a goal one year. I think it might have been 2018, 2019. I said, I'm away that much for the darts. I'm staying so much in hotels, I'm going to set myself a goal. I'm going to set myself something. And I said, this whole year, I am never going to pay to wipe my own backside. Okay. It's getting weird, I know. So,
So
what I decided to do was all those spare toilet rolls, I'd take them from the hotels and take them home. And the idea was I never bought toilet paper. Now, it got to the point where even I was going into hotels, right? And I would go in. So let's say I was there for 3 days. I'd go on day one. Day two, I'd go to reception and go, oh, sorry, can I just grab a toilet roll for my room, please? And they'd be like, yeah, sure. So I'd get extra toilet rolls. And then it got that bad that players got involved in it and they'd bring their spare toilet rolls. So I sat on the table at a Pro Tour with like 6 toilet rolls in front of me. And I'd walk to the car with toilet rolls, right? I'd be walking to the car with toilet rolls and I'd be putting them in my boot. And this was daily. Every day I'd be putting like 6-7 toilet rolls in my car. And then I'd get home, right? I'd have like 25 toilet rolls in the boot of my car. And then I've got to carry 25 toilet rolls. My neighbours must have thought I'd lost my mind. Every week turning up with like armfuls of toilet rolls. I'm like, what's he doing? So I did it though. I didn't pay.
Do you remember during COVID when you couldn't buy toilet rolls because everybody went to the supermarket and bulk bought toilet rolls? You were all right. You were sat home going, I'm fine. I still got 300 in the back room.
So we have a downstairs and an upstairs toilet, right? And I built a castle of toilet rolls in the downstairs toilet to the point you couldn't get in to use the toilet. You had to get a toilet roll and go upstairs because I had too many toilet rolls.
Are you old enough to have had an outside toilet? Or do you even know what that is?
Yeah.
When I was little, we had an outside toilet.
To the coal shed.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. God, the thought of that. Now, I'll tell you what, there was no way you were having a drink at bedtime. The thought of getting up at 3 a.m. in January and walking to the end of the yard to go and have a wee, not a chance. You didn't have a drink after about 4 p.m., just in case.
I've got another one for you.
I can't believe I don't know that toilet roll story.
No one does, other than the people that was involved. I've never told it before.
Matt, there's about 5,000 people now know from listening to the podcast.
I've got another one for you, another one. So, like I said, I was certainly around Christmas time and New Year and January, I like going into the bookies and having a bet. Certainly Boxing Day. I like it. I like to go and have a play. Lots of football on. I like watching the horse racing over the festive period. I just like to chill and just enjoy things. So I get involved in that. Now, every day I go down, I'd steal a load of pens. And at the same time, I was doing a bit of house renovation. So I was going to Wickes that give you little pencils. And then I was going to Argos that gave you little pens. And I've come back, right? And I've filled this drawer up pretty much with pens and pencils. And the missus is like, "Will you stop stealing pens? What are you going to do with these? I've got like 300
pens.
Yeah,
what are you going to do with them? I just couldn't stop.
I just kept taking pens and pencils.
Well, at least I know now when anything goes missing, I know who I'm coming to. I tell you,
it's only very petty things. Like, you know, if you're like, let's say, for example, you go in, you go, "Where's all the tea bags gone?" I've probably took them all. Like,
oh dear. Anyway, can we get back? I said I wanted to talk about counting about 30 minutes ago. Right, counting. One of my big bugbears here, professional dart players counting. Too many of them still can't count, Matt. And I want to know why. Are they just too lazy? Because, look, I was a professional dart player, nowhere near as long as you, but my day was structured around practice, but I had plenty of spare time. In that spare time, learn your checkouts, learn different ways to go. A lot of the players now, like you said, were already thinking of you need to leave a four on the end, not a two, you know, from when you start the leg. So we're thinking way, way ahead. But all this, like, numbers, you know, 201, 273, numbers like that, that you and I know where you need to start. I'm seeing all sorts of nonsense. And then, I'm not going to bring up Leonard Gates again. Well, they are, I just have. But to ask the referee, right, you've got one, what did he say? You've got 178 left, and he went for treble 19 and left 159. I was like, you couldn't make this up. This is just like comedy genius. What's going on? What's going on? Give me an excuse why somebody might be a bad counter, or can you not defend them?
This is possibly going to be one of the most unpopular things I've ever said in my life. Okay. Or some people may celebrate what I'm about to say. I used to be a teacher, as you know, one of my professions. I was a teacher for a very good amount of years. Now, learning difficulties are real. People that think it's not, or there's just lazy children or whatever, it's true. Dyslexia is a thing. Now, there are learning difficulties. But for me, that there says it in the title. Now, the problem with the way in which the education system works is learning difficulties means do less. The clue is in the title. It is a learning difficulty. And because it's difficult, and because you have a difficulty in learning, it means you work harder, not less. And that's the issue. So with that, this may be, like Jose de Sousa said he had a form of dyslexia. Maybe Leonard Gates has learning difficulties. But like you say, that means that actually he needs to work harder with it. Where actually nowadays, what would happen is if darts was taught in the school and Leonard Gates turned up to school and he's struggling to keep up with the pace of the class, they worry too much about keeping up the pace of the class. So they go, right, let's put Leonard Gates on a scolia system because that'll do it for him. And then he can keep up with everyone. Well, actually, no, let's put everyone else on the scolia system because they know it and they don't need to know this. So I can focus on the person that needs to learn, which is, in this sense, Leonard. But instead, he gets the extra things that take away the ability, the learning side, and he already finds learning difficult. So let's actually double the amount of work he does to keep him up to pace, where instead they reduce it. And I think that could be part of the,
that
like you
could
said,
be people. Part of it, Matt. I'm not having it that that's everybody. I'm not. There's too many people that are. That, shall we say, can count, but choose not to learn the tricky ones, shall we say. I've seen this, we've talked about this on the pod before, a very good friend of mine, I can't count. I just go at 20s all the time. And I started teaching him, right, 1, 2, 4, this is where you go. 1, 2, 3, this is why you start on 19s, blah, blah, blah. Came back 12 months later, he knew them all. He'd learned them all, right? So
you got 1, 2, so, though, haven't you?
Say again, sorry?
You got one.
Yeah, but like this is what it's a. This is your profession, Matt. Yeah. That's like Ronaldo goes into work tomorrow, and they go, right, Ronaldo, we've noticed that you know, you're not so good with your left foot from you know, when you're passing it, and he goes, yeah, so I'm not going to practice it. I'm not going to have a go. Tough. I'm off. I'll carry on using my right foot. Yeah. And they go, what? What are you talking about? We want you to get better. Like, we want you to get better. That wouldn't happen in other sports. So I don't get this. Yeah, I know. I've heard it. You've heard it. I know I'm rubbish at my counting, and I can't really be bothered. I'm not really bothered.
I'm going to put an argument forward to you because, and we're probably going to debate this now. And I'm going to put this argument forward to you because this is me. Okay. Not the counting, spelling. I am terrible at spelling. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Like, you've probably seen my text message. I'm always putting the wrong theirs in or things like that.
I've been told
it a million times before, and I just don't care. Where to put a comma, where to put a full stop, all these things. Like, I've tried to understand it. But it just doesn't stick in my mind. As soon as it goes in, a day later, it's gone. It's 51st
date. It doesn't matter. Matt, it doesn't matter to your job.
And this is what I'm going to say. This is what I'm going to say. So what I've done is I then found ways to get around it. I would do, I'd have video calls. I would voice note things. I would, when I was at college, I did, you know, the old dictaphones and things like that. I'd use those. I'd present my content in different ways because I just didn't care enough to go, do you know what? I'm going to fix that. And, you know, there's that side as well where, some people may go, do you know what? It just, and if you don't care enough, it doesn't stick. Like, I have gone and I've tried, I've paid for English lessons, English courses. I've done online, I've done in person, I've done all sorts of things. And the second I start doing it, like I say, I used to be a teacher. I've got friends that are teachers who try and tell me this stuff. And now they've just give up because they're like, you just don't take it in. And I'm like, I don't. You tell me one day, I forget the next. And sometimes, you may notice this as well, I'll just chuck things in to see if I'm right. Like, I'll just give you a different there, or I'll just chuck a comma in somewhere. I don't know what a comma does.
Yeah, but it's probably because you don't care enough. If I said, Matt, if you don't increase your spelling and your sentence writing in the next 12 months, then I'm afraid you're out of a job, mate. You're no longer doing YouTube. You're no longer commentating. You're out of a job. Would you address it? Would you do something about it? Would you think, right, okay, there has to be, yeah, I'm going to find a tutor who's going to teach me a way that it actually goes in. There will be a way, I'm sure, I don't know what it is, that they could teach you that, right, Matt, there's a reason why you use there, and this is it. And we'll do that again tomorrow, and we'll do it again the day after until you go, I get it. There's a way to think about it. I agree with what you said about learning difficulties. This is not when we always say this, it's not, you know, one cap fits all. It's not. What I'm saying is I don't agree with the people that are saying I just can't be bothered. You know, I just can't be bothered to learn.
Do you know you said about me with the job? Do you know what I'd do? I'd find a way around it, I'd cheat. What I'd do is I'd talk into this microphone and I'd run a transcript on the thing, and then I'd copy and paste the transcript and say, there you go, because AI would do it for me. Or, you know, so I'd find a way. And
you found a way. You have found a way. They're not finding a way.
Yeah, but that's the point. Do they think they are when they go, well, I'm just going to power in big scores and then I won't switch because it's fine. Like Taylor's philosophy, well, I'll just hit a 180. That'll solve every problem. He didn't need to play the percentages because it's like, oh, I'll just rely on my ability. Where we're talking about players playing percentages, but they're probably in their mind going, it's okay, I'll just hit a treble 20. I saw it last night. Someone was on 305 and they hit a 180. Mensah Sulevic hit a 180. If he would have missed that last dart, left 165, the opponent's on a match shot, he'd have lost the game over. But he went and ploughed on with a 180 rather than going 18s or ball.
We could talk about this all day, and I might defend Mensah on the basis of on 305. He shouldn't have been starting on 20s for starters.
Yep.
So the fact that he's thought, I'll stay there. I'll stay there. I've got a better chance of it in a 180 than if I go for 18, than leaving the 160.
That's the plan. The plan was I hit a 180 or nothing.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that in that circumstance. It's not the way I would go, but I'm okay with that. It's the two 7-1s and they leave 171. It's the 2 6-9s and they leave 169. I'm like, really? The sport has gone up. You can't be doing that anymore. Phil got away with it because he was such a power hitter. I bet if we look at who hit the most 140s, not 180s, but 140s, it will definitely be Phil Taylor. So he always knew, I'm 60, 100 ahead of you every leg. Therefore, I'll just keep powering on. These days now, we're seeing 110 averages get beat. So if you don't give yourself that chance, I just think... again, it's just me going back to lazy players that have got time on their hands that had rather play FIFA than learn their checkouts. And it grinds at me because I think I wish I had their talent and my application. You know, the same for you. Because your application is phenomenal. So, yeah, that's my little rant about counting. Please get in the comments below as well about this, because I've coached plenty of people, as you have, that say, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. And I'm like, well, let's just... So in which case, let's do it by memory rather than mathematics. Oh, okay. I hadn't thought about it that way. So if I teach you that going treble 10, double top equals 70... then you don't have to think about the mathematics. The next time you get 70, your brain goes, oh, I know it's there. It's the pattern. There's different ways of doing it.
There's a couple of things here. And I'm going to contradict myself quite a lot because I'm talking as learner and educator quite a lot here. As learner, I'm the worst learner in the world. I'm terrible to try and teach. But as an educator... I do it different ways. Now, when you say that, I can't learn it, I can't make it stick. You do that, and then you say, right, okay, what I want you to do now, I'm going to stick on Boyzone from 1996, and we're going to sing the song together. And you stick it on, and you haven't heard that song for 20-plus years, and you recite it word for word. Why is that song stuck in your mind after 26 years, but this doesn't that you do on a daily basis? Because you're learning it in the wrong way. You remember the song because you remember the pattern, you remember the build, you remember the flow, you remember all these things. So what we've got to do, we've got to replicate all those things. We've got to replicate the flow. We've got to replicate the ambience of the song.
I love the fact you brought up Boyzone there. You've got a light grey hoodie on. I'm just picturing you now singing. Was it?
Oh, I can do it with an air grab.
Please, for anybody listening now, go and find this video on YouTube on Mission Darts. Make sure you're subscribed and look at around the 50-minute mark and watch Matt do the grab, because that's the best thing. That's just made my... Will you do it again? That's just made my Christmas, that. Or you only do it once.
You really should. I mean, this is why I don't drink very often, because certainly when I go out with mates, we always get into boy band mode, and like, we're great at it. We've done some great boy bands. Flying Without Wings, that was the best one, because you've got to know just the right point where to stand up,
Please tell me you do karaoke.
Do you
do karaoke, Matt, when you've had a drink? Do you?
Not really, no. I know you did, though, didn't you, once?
Yeah, I did.
Going a night out on one of the weirdest Airbnbs I've ever seen.
Rate My Hockey's coming again soon in January. We might have to get Matt on the karaoke. We've seen... we almost saw DJ Tintin come out and in action at the last one. So, talking about that, I'm about to book a few dinner reservations, Matt, for January. So is there anything you fancy?
See,
what's your favorite food?
The thing is, we fancy different things. Like, I'm like, do you know what? KFC, bit of gravy, that's brilliant for me. Where you're like, do you know what? I fancy a bit of a steak and tartare. You know, you're,
why
you're
did
a bit
you do
posher,
like a boss voice then? I'm from the north. I know. I'm posh when I go out.
There's no way you'd stop in the sort of hotels I stop in.
Maybe 20 years ago.
Right.
I think it's an age thing. I think when you get over 50, you want a decent bed, you want a decent bathroom, and you know, you've got to get yourself sorted out in the morning to look this amazing. So, maybe 20 years ago, I'm pretty sure I've stayed in a few B&Bs, especially when I did the tour, the BDO tour. Blimey. I mean,
I've got a story for you. This could be the end story, actually, this one for us before we wrap it up. Talking about staying in terrible digs. So, I was responsible for booking the accommodation on this time, which since Ryan Searle has said, Matt never books the accommodation. So I've gone on a website and I've got these photos up that must have been from probably about 20 years ago of this hotel. And I have this habit of just booking it. I don't read the reviews. I don't do anything else. So I've booked this hotel. We've turned up. It's in Germany, in the middle of an industrial estate above a warehouse, right? A working warehouse. We've gone in and it's two bunk beds. It was like the ghetto. It was terrible. Like, to go to the toilets was like a big communal toilets in the same room as some washing machines and some showers. So,
God,
you could be sat there having a dump while someone's having a shower and someone's doing the washing. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Ryan didn't even go to the toilets for that whole experience. The only time he'd go in the shower was when he could lock the door and lock everyone out and had the whole room to himself. It was terrible. It was that bad. Ryan got his bunk bed, and when we was in the room, he'd turn it so it like went up against the wall and the door, just in case anyone tried to get in the door. He was that paranoid about like the place we were staying in. So... it had no towels, so I had to go to a local shop, and we didn't have no towels. Oh, so we ended up with, you know, those children's throws that you put the head in, yeah, and they walk around and it's like a towel. We ended up with two Kermit the Frog towel things where there was the children, so you couldn't get in it. So it was a nightmare.
No, I can't beat that. But the worst one I ever had was somewhere in the middle of summer. And this was in the UK, and the window wouldn't open. It was like painted shut, and the radiator was on. And I went down, I was like, it's about 100 degrees in the room. How do I open the window? And she went, no, you can't open the window in that room. It's painted shut. I went, oh, yeah, I kind of figure that. I said, well, can you turn the radiator off? And she went, no, it's broken. It's stuck on. I was literally naked on top of the bed. Like, it was like I was in a sauna for the whole evening. I went and had a cold shower, dried off, came back in. I was instantly like, and I thought, what do you do? You know, it was cheap.
Another one cheap, actually, for you. In Romania last year. Right. So I'm sharing with Zach, and the shower and the toilet are in the room.
In the bedroom. I've seen that. Yeah.
Not in a separate room, in the room.
Yeah, in the room, yeah.
No doors or anything. So what we've done was we've got bed, shower. So I've said to Zach, I said, right, what we'll do, we'll make a pact. When someone's in the shower, you have to roll over and face the other way. and have you back to the shower until the person's out in the dresser. And he's gone, yeah, perfect, no problems. So he's gone in the shower, and I've rolled over and I've gone, Zach, I think there might be a bit of a problem with this plan. He's like, why? I says, because they positioned a mirror just there so I can still see you through the mirror.
And this is why, ladies and gentlemen,
you just get away from it.
Yeah, this is why I'm booking the accommodation and everything for the Rate My Hockey trip. We're having separate rooms, that's for sure. All right, mate. Well, it's been, honestly, we could go on all day because there's so much to talk about. We've actually talked about quite a lot about darts this week, so there's a new one on the podcast, isn't it? But yeah, make sure you subscribe, guys. We will still be doing this through the Christmas period. Every Sunday, get your fix of us at Sunday tea time. We're putting it out a little bit earlier because the Worlds is on. And we've still got other videos. The new series are going well, Matt. The coaching series on a Monday. The shop series has been really well received. We're not that far away now from another Rate My Hockey series. There's so, and a little short that's gone out this week as well. There's a lot going on. And 2025. Can we share anything? Is it going to be an even bigger year, Matt? Is Matt Egger doing a few more hours for Mission?
I think really what we've done this year was done on the least amount of time going. I think with what we've got coming up next year, I think we're going to double the quality, the content, everything about it next year, I think is going to go up double. And with that, yeah, so will the entertainment factor as well. We have got some really good stuff lined up. Now is the time to hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Now's the time to share this with your friends because this channel, I'm telling you, it's going to boom.
I agree. And I can see a little Edgar smile there knowing what's coming. So, yeah, thanks again for watching, everybody.